Off the Ball, GAA.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit frustrating that we don't get to play the new rules in Sigerson as well, just to really see how it, like, we could flow from one game to another without thinking about it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball, GAA.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit frustrating that we don't get to play the new rules in Sigerson as well, just to really see how it, like, we could flow from one game to another without thinking about it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 60 of The Racing Pod on Off the Ball. Remember, we're here every Friday with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, and the crack. The first half of the pod each week is free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. And this week for members, we will look at Sunday's cards at Thurles and Windsor. Subscribe now. We had a winner last week, the King of Pyrrhus, 11-2, shot one. So we had a winner last week in the members section. So be sure to sign up. John Duggan with you as always. Johnny Ward is taking a break this week, so we're delighted to have in his place on the line Tom Malone of the Irish Field. How are you, Tom, today?
I'm very good, John. I'm very good. The sun's out, the snow's gone. We're in a happy place.
And Cheltenham's what, less now than 2 months away, Tom? What's percolating in your mind at the moment when it comes to racing?
I'm full of hope, John. Maybe it's this spring being in the air, but I'm just looking around at the headlines and the racing press, and it's, you know, the Dublin Racing Festival is just around the corner. Constitution Hill is set to run on trials day at Cheltenham. We've got Willie Mullins bringing horses over. We've got the Clarence House to look forward to. Horses are running. Horses are taking each other on. It feels like the narrative that the season is not just all about Cheltenham. It's actually taken hold. Brilliant initiative in the UK this weekend with the Fleur-de-Lis Chase heading up that Berkshire Million Series. Lots of Irish people heading over to try and nick some of the prize money. There's plenty on offer. So the one thing for me, John, I would say that a lot of Irish trainers took a leaf out of Willie Mullins' book last year. They seem to have taken out the race planners and booked their ferries and started to go over and look to plunder some pots. And a lot of trainers as well seem to have just said, let's go and run our horses. So I think it's all good. I'm really happy with life at the moment. Maybe we'll feel a bit different when we get to the far side of the Dublin Racing Festival and things might get a little bit bleaker. But I think you've had a pretty good season so far. And, there's certainly a lot less cotton wool and bubble wrap for these horses. And they seem to be just running a lot more.
Are you in the cotton wool, Tom? Are you still riding that horses every day?
Not in the competitive sense. I have a retired racehorse here, and I chip away with him all right, and do a little bit of hunting and school night with the kids and jump cross country. But I'm not riding racehorses at the moment. I've passed the mantle of that on to my son. Now he's riding out at the moment.
You rode one of those charity races, didn't you, at Punchestown one of the years?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It was, I think, 4 years ago now. But it was great. Yeah, it's great. Would thoroughly recommend if anyone has maybe lapsed from horse riding for a while and they just want to get involved. Trainers, by the way, are very happy to accommodate an extra pair of hands, no matter how bad those hands might be around the place, and to help you get fit. And, you know, it's a great way to raise money. I got involved in the Punchestown one, which raises money for Kidney Research Fund, but obviously there's ones for the injured jockeys, there's Cancer Trials Ireland as well. Lots of great initiatives on the charity race front, and as an experience, it's something I'd absolutely recommend for you.
Was it a massive thrill, was it?
Yeah, it's a great buzz. I mean, look, I'm from near Punchestown, so even just to get legged up in the parade ring at Punchestown and walk around the parade ring, and, you know, that lap of the parade ring was because the horse ran stink. So I had a bit of drama on the day where I ended up on a second horse that was, I knew, was quite slow. So whatever, I just got to very much observe from the back of the field rather than get really stuck into the race. But the actual experience itself, that getting legged up at Punchestown, the Punchestown festivals, really good crowds, like, it's that was definitely a buzz, all right.
And having the colours on as well.
Yeah, all the gear. I have all the pictures and stuff up on the mantelpiece and all that, and like the kids there, and have the Poor Man's Hill colours on. But yeah, no, it was great. And like, owners and trainers are really good to support those kind of initiatives too, you know. You do have to do a capability assessment, but they put a lot of trust in your hands, you know. considering how inexperienced I was or other charity riders would be. But no, it's great to do. And like I said, if someone is picking out their New Year's resolutions potentially, and you know, the weight's not a big thing either, you know, for if you are fit and healthy, like, you know, I think it's sort of around 11 and a half, 12 stone. So it's not a really, really bad situation for people having to get in shape, you know?
Yeah, and obviously they just need to have a bit of, I suppose, familiarity with horses to be able to do so. You talk about the Clarence House Chase there, Tom. It's on at Ascot this Saturday. 3:32 is the time. And I remember this race, what, 3 years ago you had Shishkin and Energeman, and Energeman is back going over to the UK, Paul Tennant, to ride against John Bond this time.
Yeah, I mean, poor old Energamine, the only real blots in his copybook are in the Clarence House Chase, aren't they? He's headed over twice and he's been beaten twice. Once when it was rescheduled to Cheltenham, that kind of happens at Ascot this time of the year, but they tend to lose him. But yeah, I think it's great to have a clash like this. I think he's up against it. I think he spoke to you on the pod about it before. I mean, what does John Bond have to do to get a bit of love?
Win the champion chase.
The only two horses that have beaten him are El Fabiolo and Constitution Hill, apart from when he nearly fell in this race last year and he still was only barely touched off by Elixir de Notes. I watched that race again this morning. Like, it's probably an indictment on the fences because he hit it so hard and he ended up in his belly and he still was only marginally beaten. So, yeah, I'd be very much in the John Bond camp. He's one of those very rare horses who's had an absolutely enormous reputation and a huge sales price. And he's actually covered his sales price. So that's an achievement in itself. But I actually am a fan of John Bond. Energamine is probably up against it. And like I said, his record at Ascot is probably slightly against him for me. But yeah, I think I'm just in the John Bond camp, and I do feel a little bit like he doesn't get enough love at all. But you're dead right, John. If he goes and wins a champion chase, then he should get all the love. But I suppose that omission from his CV is the thing, isn't it?
Four runners, Boot Hill is a course and distance winner, but is former to make up with John Bond. Edward Stone is a former Arkle Chase winner, but 11 now, been beaten four times by John Bond. To me, this is a match. Energeman won the Hilly Way at Cork, is 11 years of age now. How much ability does he retain, I suppose, is the question. Both himself and John Bond have got 11 wins from 13. The tactics will be interesting here. You can imagine John Bond going out all guns blazing and Energeman and Paul Tennant looking to pick him off.
Yeah, you would think so. But, you know, I think when you think about it, say the horses themselves, I think maybe John Bond's a slightly better horse than Energeman, but I think tactically, I'd have Paul Tennant over Nicky de Boinville every day of the week. So, I mean, that's the element in it. I'm with John Bond, but so the more you think about it, when, you know, when he's coming over with him, he's had a couple of disappointments, though, hadn't he, over Christmas? Willie Mullins bringing his horses to the UK. But yeah, look, I think John Bond should be the better horse. He's 9 years of age at the absolute peak of his powers. I think in Ergamine, maybe. Like, he's obviously been very well taken care of and he is relatively lightly raced. But yeah, it's a fascinating battle. I do think John Bond will come out on top, but it's intriguing to see him because, you know, Shishkin went and outstayed Energamine when he went with those tactics a couple of years ago in this race, didn't he? So it'd be interesting to see if John Bond tries to do the same as what Shishkin did, but I can't see Paul Tennant really letting him away with that either. Yeah, fascinating. It's fascinating. I think John Bond comes out on top. I think John Bond's the better horse. But, you know, I don't know, something about these two-mile chases, John. My favourite type of horse is a two-mile chaser, Sprinter Sacre, Size in Europe, all those brilliant horses over the years, Moscow Flyer. And you know, you think back to those great, great races in Tingle Creek when you're younger. And there's always those times, aren't there, when something that should be straightforward is John Bond is the better horse. He's the younger horse. He's banging form. He's on home turf. And sometimes they just get turned over by, I don't know, just the wiser horse, if you can call Energamine that. But it's a brilliant race, a fascinating contest. I think John Bond should win. What? 9-4 in Ergamine. It's a little tempting in a match, isn't it?
Yeah, well, John Bond, there's been money for it as we record this on Friday, Tom. Think about an Ergamine. To be honest, the form of the Hilly Way's worked out with Banbridge. I know it was a shorter trip for Banbridge, but
yeah, absolutely.
Like falling. I just don't know. It's about how much ability an Erdogan retains. Twice a champion chase winner. If he retains the ability, he can definitely put it up to John Bonn, and then he's an attractive bet. But at the prices, maybe I just think it's great to see two of these against each other, and it's great to watch it. I don't think age is necessarily a negative. I mean, Viking flagship back to the 90s was the king of this division, and he'd great rivals as well at the time. But I kind of agree with you that John Bonn has like has one right handed. He's won two Tingle Creeks of Sandown. The ground is no issue. Ascot should be fine. And yeah, I probably agree that he's the most likely winner. But the fact that an Erdogan is there.
I feel they wouldn't take any risks with an Erdogan as well. You know, he is one of those horses. He doesn't really owe them anything. He's been very, very good. He's been top class for them. You know, he's already a champion chase winner. Like, you know, it's just one of those things. Just the problem for me with Erdogan is those two blots in his copybook can win in this race. But you'd have to think the fact they're coming over with him, they're obviously really happy with the way he came out of the Hilly Way. It's fascinating contest. And so many of these, like, there have been complaints about smaller fields and stuff like that, but you only need two horses to really make a race. You know, you got Chambon versus an Ergamine. You had, you know, Shishkin versus an Ergamine, Shishkin versus Suriname, all those great jewels over the years. And I think we're set up for another one, to be honest. Hope we are anyway.
Ascot also stages a good handicap chase on Saturday. Good to soft ground, 2:15, the start time, 10 runners. Found this a bit of a puzzle, to be honest. Hitman, I did like. He's 9 now, but I think Paul Nichols feels off 12 stone. He might have it all to do. Bit of money for Terracita today, only carrying 10 stone 6. Scarface is a course and distance winner off 10 stone 2. He's got an each way chance, but I found it difficult to narrow it down to a winner here, I have to say.
Yeah, I thought you might go for Martador because you're a big Venetia Williams fan. She's certainly done us a few turns over the last couple of weeks as well, John. I was kind of falling on Hitman as well, not because he's a reliable sort, but you know, sort of 9-10 to 1 when we're looking at this now, these are just lesser horses than what he's used to taking on. I think we probably have to take his rating maybe with a pinch of salt. Might not quite be a 1.56 horse anymore, but these are not the kind of horses he's used to taking on. And just for that reason, look, Hitman's not the kind of horse that you can really hang your hat on. I think he's been beaten favorite 5 times in his life. So he is quite clearly a horse that has not delivered on his early promise. And he looked through some of his early form, you know, he's right up there, really, really good, both novice hurdler and novice chaser. And look, maybe life hasn't exactly turned out for him, but sure, that happens to the best of us too, doesn't it, John? But, you know, I like Hitman. And just because I think he might just have a touch of class, and at around about 9-10 to 1, I think he's a fair each way bet in what is a muddling kind of race. Martador was the other one that kind of jumped out at me a little bit. Clearly likes it at Ascot. Venetia Williams can do little wrong. But yeah, I thought it was just between the top two and the weights there, because these are not the greatest bunch assembled for this race. But I just thought Hitman at the prices, and Martador was a deserving favourite.
So Hitman was the horse I selected last night. Paul Nichols then put me off with his column, and now you put me back onto him. So Hitman is my selection as well each way.
Okay,
he hasn't won in over 2 years, but I agree with you with the class angle. I think he's a class horse of the race. He saw Florian Porter hammer them in the Kerry National when he was against horses that were inferior. I think it could be a similar thing to tomorrow. We have also at Haydock on Saturday another horse that has got a class position, Royal Pagai in the Peter Marsh Chase. Has won the race twice before, has won 2 Betfair Chases, is a Haydock specialist. Something good will have to beat him. Maybe Mr. Vango is that horse, maybe something else. But Royal Pagai is the Venetia Williams horse here who is the one to beat in Haydock.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the Peter Marsh a couple of years ago was really the race that Royal Pagai announced himself, wasn't it? He just came out and he absolutely hosed up and then pointed himself as a real potential graded contender on the back of that. Easy to see why Venetia Williams come back to this place. Absolutely loves it. And like you said, maybe the opposition, Mr. Vango, is quite clearly the most, the biggest opposition to him. And obviously Mr. Vango as well, only carrying 10 stone too. Look, he's only rated 140 odd, but, you know, once again, you would think that Royal Pagai here, like he's done this in the past, of so very similar mark as well. You know, 1.6, 1.66, but like, he's given a stone plus to the field, but he should be, you know what I mean? He's a clear class angle ahead of the rest of these. And from all we know, they shouldn't really see which way he goes. He loves the track. He loves the ground as well. And yeah, look, I can't really see past Royal Pagai. Everything is in his favour, apart from having to carry a lump of weight. But what he's up against are not brilliant either. So it's a similar kind of angle for me as the kind of hitman argument. But yeah, Royal Pagai, really horse I like. Just elsewhere on the Ascot card,
yeah,
that Ascot card is going to have a huge bearing on the anti-post markets for Cheltenham and what we look ahead, because Lulamba in the opener is the talking horse of the anti-post market. I'm sure we chat to the guys from William Hill in a bit. Intrigued to see what they had to say, because I think he was one of the massive market movers for the Triumph Hurdle, and then the race he was due to make his British debut in was cancelled last week, so he's been redirected to Ascot in what looks to be a much more difficult starting off for him on UK soil. So intriguing to see how he goes. I think he's only about 4-1 for the Triumph Hurdle, despite not having publicly jumped a hurdle in the UK. Obviously, French winner. And then you've got Cargesi as well, the dual Grade One winner for Willie Mullins, who's sort of second favourite in the Mares Hurdle. And obviously, we have Bridal Days Ahead and Lossie Mouth, but you know they could quite easily not turn up and by default leave her at the top of the market. So yeah, intriguing to see how she gets on as well. So Ascot, as well as the Clarence House, really good card, not just for what's happening on the day, but also in the context of what could happen over the next couple of weeks too.
Yeah, so Lulamba coming from France has not raced in the UK in the Donnelly colours, so the colours of Sergino and Album Photo. So Nicole de Boinville will ride for Nicky Anderson. Nicky Anderson's got some ammunition after a terrible Cheltenham for him last year. Could be a very different story in March this year. And I really like this Cargesi. Don't know if she'll need to settle better, I think, over 2.5 miles in the future, but I think she's a really good horse. Only second at the Triumph Hurdle. Like, I suppose only second in that. That was a really good performance from her. And she beat Lossie Mouth last season as well.
But that run at Cheltenham as well, like so much went wrong for her. Like she, I mean, I remember watching her earlier on the season. She can get really, really keen. And obviously you look back at her form now, second to Majbra, second to Sergino at Aintree as well. Like just really, really strong form. Obviously did the Grade One double as well, did the Dublin Racing Festival and then won at Punchestown. So yeah, really nice mare. And like I said, if she goes and does well in that race, she could quite easily find herself right up there at the top of the market. You know, obviously the mare's market is kind of dictated by Brighter Days Ahead, and see what happens with her, assuming that Lossie Mouth goes to the Champion Hurdle. But like I say, Cargesi could end up at the top of the mare's betting on her own bat if she wins this, and then also by default, obviously, if Gordon Elliott decides to bring Brighter Days Ahead to the Champion Hurdle.
Briefly, Tom, in this section, anything at Navan that you're keen on?
Yeah, it's probably sticking with the Cargesi angle, but at Navan, just big fan of Butler's Secret. Yes, he has been slightly disappointing, but he runs in that handicap hurdle at 1:10. Yeah, it's... The thing I like about this race, obviously the Irish Grand National winner Intense Raffles runs in it as well. A lot of these horses will have their eyes on prizes elsewhere. And Butler's Secret is very much on a recovery mission. After he won earlier on the year, I don't think anybody would have figured he was going to end up, you know, 1:39 at this stage of the season. So I think that mark should be well within his compass.
The Butler Secret, I pulled up at Leopardstown over Christmas. You think he can bounce back? A couple down the bottom, interesting in this, the 1:10 at Navan on Saturday, 20-runner handicap hurdle, the most, I suppose, lucrative prize on the day. Corey Starr is interesting in that he didn't stay over 2.7 miles at Leopardstown last time out, finishing fourth. This might suit better. And Blaze the Way is the only horse to win last time out and won over the course last time, but in a longer distance race, but could be more to come off 10 stone 7 out of an each-way chance, Blaze the Way. You've lots in here. Jigoro is a course winner. Eagle's Reign. was a horse that was finished second at Cheltenham last year. So it's definitely an interesting race to look forward to.
But Bell Lord Erskine, now 12 as well. Obviously, a classy operator as well for Harry Rogers. There's lots of horses in here that I think will end up in the Grand National or those kind of staying chases as well, like Annie Road, Intense Raffles, Espinito Bello as well, amongst others. So that was one of the reasons why Reid Butler Secret just stood out there up near the top of the weights. Also, Gavin Cromwell, my goodness, he just struggled to train a loser at the moment. Had something like 11 winners in his last 70 runners. So, he's in phenomenal form.
I'm going to give a charity bet in the member section, Tom. Do you want to pick maybe one for the weekend for us to follow?
Yeah, I think I'm going to stick with Butler's Secret for the weekend. I think he's a really good chance in that handicap hurdle at 10 past one at Navan on Saturday.
Okay, this is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. But if you're looking for more, including our look at Sunday's action at Thurles and Windsor, and our charity bet, you can go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
Off the Ball, GAA.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit frustrating that we don't get to play the new rules in Sigerson as well, just to really see how it, like, we could flow from one game to another without thinking about it.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.